We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Happy Friday, everybody. You're going Dukes and Bell, man. Just got off work. Hey, man, I just got to the house. Hey, man, I just got in the truck. What's the latest on Michael Penix?
He's following doctor's orders.
There is no latest. We haven't heard a damn thing yet, but we will. He is following doctor's orders, Mike. And the deal is yesterday after practice, he said, hey, I got a meeting, you know, phone call with my doctor. We'll see what happens. But let's expound on this a little bit before we dive into some of the things Kevin Stefanski said. They did practice today. They're getting ready for the second preseason game tomorrow. Again, our coverage starts at 11 Saturday, 1 o'clock kick against Indianapolis. You said it. He's not going to defy the doctors, right?
Right.
And if the doctor says, yeah, you know, you're coming along great, but you're just not there yet. And the thing that was crazy yesterday after practice is when Penix said, if I can, I can escape the pocket, but what if I don't? And it made us wonder, like, where does that come from, Michael? When you start talking about your ability to escape, but if I don't, can I take a hit? And that's where he said, you know, I don't think the doctor wants that to happen.
Right. And we're going to play the soundbite for you in a sec, but it had us just kind of saying, like, okay, I mean, all right. I mean, you look good. We've seen him step into throws and all that. And do you like the first thing? First things first. Very open. I mean, we've covered a lot of guys in pro sports. It's an open book. He's telling you what's going on inside his head, dealing with his battle to get back on the field. And also not personal demons, but confidence, right? Getting the confidence back.
Yeah.
Oren, you got the quote? Yeah, take a listen.
I mean, I do a lot of drill work. As far as the pocket, I can do everything. If I had a rush coming at me and everything, I can get away. But it's just right now, if I don't get away, that's what we're thinking about. If I don't get away, you know, I don't think my doctor is ready for me to, you know, take those hits right now. But that time is coming real soon.
All right. Now, does that bother you at all that he says, you know, my doctor won't be taking those hits?
Because that's obviously been said to him.
Yeah. And so does that... Now, what is the doc supposed to say? Get out there. You're gonna get hit one way or the other, Mike, so let's roll with it. Or, and as I said to Carl earlier, I mean, okay, we're all waiting. It's basically going to be 9 months to the day. Matt Ryan, Cunningham, Stefanski, they probably all knew this, and we've just been running around chasing our tail on this, but that's the way it's going to play out, and not a minute sooner. But I said to Carl, I mean, he looks good to us. He looks like he's doing all the things you need to do to play quarterback. So how is it like, okay, not yet, but Tuesday, yes. You're good Tuesday.
What changes? What changes is my question. If you're healed, you're healed. It's like a scar, right? You guys have all incurred scars in your life. And you go through the process, oh, put that cream and that ointment on there, and then it heals up, Mike, but it's still not, you know, the skin tone. And then finally it starts to turn back to the color of your skin. And then all of a sudden you look down one day and it's not there, but it's been healed. What at what point does it happen where what changes from the point where he's healed and he's able to do all these things to the point where he can't take a hit or can take a hit again? I get it. I'm not rushing him out there. I haven't. I'm as anxious as anybody to see him because I want to get this crap resolved. I'm over it. I'll be honest with you. But the other part of it is I do think there is some mental doubt that's going on with him, regardless if the doctor said, yeah, you're good to go. Because he still has it in the back of my mind. What if I don't escape this pressure?
Here you go, Dukes and Bell. Faulting a man for following doctor's orders. No, stop that heart. See, again, Carl, if the doctor tells you to take cholesterol medication, you're not going to listen to him?
I'm going to
listen. He kept repeating, three knee surgeries. Talk about the three knee surgeries.
Now you're dogging out a man for listening to his own doctor.
Yeah, I mean, you said it earlier. Are you going to stop eating Popeyes? I'm not.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's why I take Crestor for, so I can do that.
I mean, to your point, I'm going to get my ice cream in and all the things that I love. But yeah, man, look, I respect that. But
I just don't want it creeping into where it somehow becomes subconsciously there's some doubt there. But again, we're not psychologists. We're just analyzing what the man said, his own words. Hopefully it's all resolved. The question then becomes, and we have asked Bryant McFadden about this, he says no, that even if he does get cleared by, let's say, Wednesday, that's not enough time certainly to have him play for the final preseason game and maybe not enough time to have him ready for week one up in Pittsburgh. See, that's the thing. I mean, do you want to have him going? Because you go up to Pittsburgh, as much of a clown show as their offense was at times last year, that is still a defense that can get after it. And is that the game that you want to let Penix come back and do his thing?
Well, look, Raheem said that's why they didn't have him go up against that Chargers defense, right?
Right.
I mean, you pick your spots. You're going to throw a rookie out there to the Wolves when you haven't prepared him? That's why he didn't start earlier. And, you know, again, The game he did come in, you got to go back now 2 years ago. Think about the game he came into against the Commanders, Mike, and that, what a big moment that was. And we still talk about it.
His first game was the Giants. That was the one that...
But they weren't any good.
Yeah, that was a bad Giants team. And Penix actually, you know, that was a ball that got tipped by Kyle Pitts. His first interception wasn't even his fault.
His fault.
But, you know, the Carolina game, he throws for 300 yards and just his third start in the NFL. Commanders game, he made a mistake. We were under the impression maybe somebody didn't zig when they should have zagged with their route. He comes right back and does enough to win the game, and the coach screws up clock management.
Yeah. I think that's part of this. Is
I liked him. I liked
your
his
spots.
I thought he had swagger or just a looseness in that first those first three games going back to 24 than at times last season.
Oh, I do agree. I see, that's the concern for me. He actually looked better at the end of that season than he did all of last season. And the one game where he, and this is the part we'll never know, and again, we're going back to what Coach told us, this is Raheem Morris, he said he felt like he had taken that step in that Carolina game, which is the game he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back and look at that game, he was playing pretty well.
He's on fire.
So yeah. I don't know if that would have been that next stepping stone, but now, Mike, that's my issue. Like, two seasons ago, at the end of the season, you looked more confident and better than all of last season for me. And now you got this stuff going on with you. We will see what the doctor says, but there is no news to report there.
Now, again, it doesn't help Tua's argument or at least trying to win over hearts and minds of Falcon fans. Well, again, Penix fans don't want to hear anything but Penix, and we get that. And hopefully he will establish it. Best thing for the franchise. We talked about salary control. He's the man, and we know exactly what we have. Sign off on that fifth year come May. But as far as Tua, the video has been not helping him. You know, the first time you get to see him, he misses a snap in the preseason game, Carl. Then we saw the video of him running for his life and literally looking like a guy that never played the position. Looked like a true rookie in the NFL.
But let's be fair and balanced about this. O just sent this video about an hour ago. They didn't block anybody on that play.
Correct.
The edge rusher is not touched. He runs directly in the backfield, which Tua goes, oh, crap.
Right.
Turns his shoulder, and now he's running the opposite way. Meanwhile, right up the middle, it was Jarrell. He's playing tackle. He didn't touch his guy.
So
things are not talked about, Mike, when you see these videos, and you go, wow, he looks like an idiot running around. They didn't block anybody.
There's video I think you can break down and say, okay, that's legit. But you got to, again, it's the context. What happened? Who didn't do their job?
That's right.
But it makes Tua look like a doofus.
Now, who are you talking about this other video?
Well, two pieces of video. We talked earlier. Zachariah Branch, that's an 11-on-11 situation. Not a 7-on-7, an 11-on-11. Zachariah Branch makes the catch, jukes two guys out of their shorts, and then trucks the corner at the end of the play. That's great. I mean, that's Zachariah Branch showing you what he can do. That's legit. There's no debating that. Zachariah Branch uses athleticism. He made some cuts. Guys missed. And then when the safety or whoever the other corner came over, he just basically got a handful of them and put them on his ass. I love it. But then you get to this piece of video, which now the Colts throw out there. And it's Josh Downs, who, by the way, went to North Gwinnett.
Yeah.
Big stud. He had a couple of great years for North Carolina at wide receiver. And he's going, this is a contract year for Josh Downs. So you see Josh Downs catch a ball after he does this amazing juke move. And the Falcons player is literally faked out of the picture frame. Okay, the thing is, with all due respect to the guy who got juked out, he's the fourth string corner who's not even going to make this team. So now Joshua Downs is good, and he made the play, and it looks good, and there's no argue there. But poor A.J. Woods, who's number 20, he's in his first season out of Pitt. That's the guy. It's not like you did this against A.J. Terrell, you know, or you know, against Watts or somebody. It's a guy that's probably not even going to be in football by this time in a month.
Well, these videos, not all, some, can be manipulated. How long was he covering that guy? 5 seconds.
Yeah. But again,
no one covers for 5 seconds in the NFL. That's why 7-on-7, sorry, is not real football.
And that's what this was in. So look, he fakes the guy out of the shorts, and now the Colts are chirping on that. So it's just, but I feel bad because this is a guy that, you know, he's going to be lucky if he's on a practice squad at best, if he's not going to be cut.
All right, let's hear from Kevin Stefanski. What's the plan for tomorrow? First things first, Kevin, what's the deal?
Yeah, going to really be decided afterward, but by and large, our starters will not play in this game. This will be the twos and threes, if you will, and it's how Shane structured the reps on these practices to make sure that the ones are getting the majority of the reps. So then this is really their game, if you will, and then the twos and threes will play in the game.
All right, so that's the plan tomorrow. That's Jack Strand. That's Cooper Rush. And again, if you're on the verge of trying to make this team, better show out tomorrow, right? I mean, you've had a couple of days of practices for the guys that did get reps. Jack Strand did not get reps as we thought he might in these two preseason practices. But, Mike, you got to play well tomorrow, I think, if you're going to give yourself a chance. Because the starters will play a significant amount, at least in the first half of that third game. you got to impress here. Your time's running out for some of these guys who think they're going to make this
squad.
Right,
but you brought up a good point earlier in the show, man. Day-Day was talking about it with us about, you know, you got two quarterbacks that are injury-prone. So the third-string thing is not it's not like it's irrelevant.
It's not.
And Cooper Rush certainly has more experience. All the fans love the backup. Jack Stran's got a lot of fan favorites out. He's a favorite with the fans out there. But, yeah, hopefully he can make something happen positively in that second half. It happens to be the second half because his reps certainly got diminished in the scrimmage against the Colts, according to everybody we talked to, including Daniel Flick.
Yeah, and that's a great conversation online. If you want to go check it out at odyssey.com. Kevin Stefanski was also talking about how he evaluates these joint practices over the last couple of days.
Well, there's double the amount of film you got to watch, so you kind of you watch the tape and you're not done yet. Do you evaluate it differently? Sure, yeah, because it's different schemes, and you know, I'm not aware of what the call is on either side of the ball, so I'm learning like you guys are, and what's being run on the other side, if you will. So, I think there's a tremendous amount of value to these, and I think you guys saw yesterday, and I have a ton of respect for Shane and what he's done here and what he continues to do here, and I thought it was really good professional work on all three sides of the ball.
Also, Mike, they signed a defensive tackle today.
Yep.
Eric Johnson.
The second. A fifth-round pick of the Colts. He was on he's been on some practice squads, but he does have a familiarity with Nate Oley from Nate Oley's time in Indianapolis. So there's always go, as you said, with guys you know, so there's more depth. Two ways of looking at it. They're still trying to find some guys that can do the job, but they're just looking for more depth at defensive tackle.
All right, guys, you can chime in, 404-726-0929. Let us know what you think. And I do want to mention this, too, because, again, after practice, Coach talked about this yesterday, and that was he felt like the offensive line did not do a great job. And I think that's important when you start talking about the evaluation of some of these other things that we're talking about. There is no offensive line involved in 7-on-7. There is an offensive line involved in 11-on-11. And Stefanski put an emphasis on he didn't think that we protected very well, right? And so this offensive line, and we asked Daniel about this, Mike, there's a meshing thing that's going on. And Daniel said, look, the line they're going to start in Pittsburgh is only practiced together like two times. Yeah.
Juwan Taylor, I don't know if that was Jarrell or Juwan Taylor when you had that Tua video that was a freaking jailbreak. But the offensive line is a concern. And BMAC told us if you're looking for anything out of 7-7, BMAC said that's the teaching moment, but you can't evaluate that and say, oh, my guy's ready. Only 11-on-11, only reading, backing up, out of the pocket, being under center, all the things you're going to need to do in this offense, which hopefully Mike will ramp up starting Wednesday.
All right.
If we get the okay.
If we get the okay. We're going to get the okay?
Hell if I know, Joe. I mean, this quarterback, imagine if you rewind all the way back to like April and May with us, and quarterback battle, man. And then it's like, no, this isn't
not
a battle. No, it's been a great big nothing burger. Tua not really impressive, and Mike still can't go.
All right. We're going to have some fun when we come back.
I don't think it's a laughing matter, Mr. Boyd.
We're going to have some fun when we come back. Stay there. I want to remind you, Atlanta's authority on baseball is 92.9 The Game. Grant McCauley, guys, Sunday all season long. Join him from the Diamond, a comprehensive look at Braves and Major League Baseball. It's brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home at markspain.com and by Window Nation. Visit windownation.com for your free consultation today. That's From the Diamond with Grant McCauley, Sundays on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You want fun? We'll provide it for you next. Fun.
If I have to talk about Michael Penix Jr. and his knee one more time, I swear to God.
You're going to have to talk about
Michael
Penix.
He kept repeating, three knee surgeries. Talk about the three knee surgeries.
You have to talk about Michael Penix one more time. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Hope you're having a great Friday. Thanks for being here. We are getting ready for the preseason game, and we will break down, seriously, what we're looking for here before we get out of here at 6. Tonight, by the way, Turtle will be on until the start of the Corky Kill game. It's the second game tonight, right, Day-Day? Is that right? The second or the third game of Corky Kill?
They're calling third game, but Second game's coming up right now.
All right, so he will be on until that actually takes place, which is, it's Houston County tonight. And West Forsyth, I believe it is, tonight on the station. So stay tuned for that. But Turtle will have you at 6. All right. This is called Fact or Fiction.
Okay.
Fact or Fiction. All right. We're going to go around the room. All right. And all I need to know is why it's a fact or why it's fiction. Okay. We will start with Mike on these, and then we'll make our way around to Day-Day and Big O. Michael Penix is not mentally ready to return. Fact or fiction?
since there's no middle ground here, it's pretty cut and dry. We see, kids, when it's fact or fiction, you definitely can have two things being true. I'm going to say fact right now.
Fact.
It can change. But right now, I think he's still not 100% mentally to be doing the job he needs to do. Hopefully that changes. But right now, the things I'm hearing, I love the openness, but the way he's just – and look, I know you guys have said you got to take the doctor's instructions. All you're going to do is further exacerbate an injury or hurt yourself. But I don't know. I want to hear a little more aggressiveness and a little more, you know, I don't know, got to get me out there kind of. I'm just not hearing that from him.
Day-day, fact or fiction?
I think both things are true.
No, they're not. Fact or fiction.
Day-day, Michael Penix is not mentally ready to return.
I'm going to say fiction.
Fiction.
After what I heard him say yesterday when he was addressing the fact that he was going to be hearing from his doctor, and then I know he made the comments about, you know, the you know, getting hit, you know, or escapability and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But as I mentioned to you guys this morning on the pre-show behind the curtain, I'm starting to lean more towards thinking that maybe part of this is the Falcons saying to themselves, at this point, we know even if we clear you next week, we still have time. So there's no need to put you out here right now.
Mm. Are you insinuating they're protecting him even more?
Look, why not?
Okay. All right. So fiction for you that fiction. He is not mentally.
I don't think it's there anymore.
Okay. Big O, where are you at? Penix is not mentally ready to return.
Fact.
At this point, I mean, we've heard everything he has to say about this. Everybody, you guys have been out there at camp. Everybody's seen him in drills, throwing. Mm-hmm. These no limitations he looks like he doesn't have. Everything looks like he's running as normal. The one thing that's holding him up right now is getting hit. And he doesn't want to get hit, so he's saying he can't get hit right now. At some point or another, like, the physical part of this doesn't really exist anymore, and it's in his head. I think after three knee surgeries.
Right.
There's a legitimate sort of like fear, like, hey,
yeah.
In the back of my mind, like, that was my healthy knee I just tore. If it was one thing, if it was my other knee where I tore it twice, this is the good knee.
Mm.
I mean, it was Jamal Anderson back in the day where he tore his ACL and he came back. Then tore his other one the next year, and he was like, nah, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. Like, when you're trying to injure the healthy parts of your body, the parts you think they're going to be the strongest parts of you, yeah, the mental side starts to creep in at that point. So
I'm with you. I'm going to go fact on this as well.
Fact.
And to Mike's point, I hope it changes. But right now, I think it's more of that than it is this thing where it needs to be. Guys, 9 months. Mike said it. 9 months next week. This is a 9-month to 12-month injury. Right. He's got the best resources you could possibly have. All right, let's move on.
But, Carl, here's the thing, though, man. Like, the way to get this thing fixed is to get hit. But he don't want to get hit, so how does he get fixed?
But what if it's the team don't want him to get hit yet?
I think it's him and the team that doesn't want to get hit right now.
Mike? And that's my thing.
You think the team doesn't? Is this the team protecting him?
I mean,
like, there's no need to rush him out there.
Yeah, I mean, if he gets Day-Day, sooner or later he has to be out there.
And they know that, but they know what their window is.
But I mean, that's what I said to start the segment. I think that, you know, they knew it was going to be 9 months. You know, D-Led, it's always going to be 9 months, Mike and Carl. And that comes out to be next Wednesday. So, you know, but we've always felt, again, we're looking for signs. Everything with him freaking dancing at his wedding. You know, to guys.
That's right.
And that's in the audience. It wasn't just us looking at it. You guys were bringing it up. But everybody's looking for some kind of a tell. Because I think it's always human nature that you're going to get back out there and fight. And the hell, doctor's orders, I'm out there. Let's go. But again, he's had all of these injury histories. You know, there's been guys in this league that have had Adrian Peterson came back in record time because he's a physical freak and he'd never been injured like that. You know, Daniel Jones is coming back from an Achilles faster than Mike is coming back from an ACL because Daniel has never had the other injuries to his body that Mike has. To Oren's point, where one other body part gets extended or beat up because you're putting less pressure on this or that. So I just want to see him out there, but I would like to hear more confidence from him. I don't think that's wrong to say.
All right, fact or fiction, guys.
So,
Mike.
I think both things are true.
No.
Mike, Tua doesn't look like a competent starter.
Fact. Yeah, he doesn't look. It don't look good, okay? And I get it. Offensive line is going to get together, and maybe Callahan is destroying this village to save it. He's going to rebuild this thing, and they're going to be better, stronger, like the $6 million man. Doesn't help. But you have one chance to make a first impression. You look ridiculous in that preseason game. So anybody who's in your corner or neutral is like, Tua, he's washed. So, like, it's not definitive, But we've seen a bunch of video, and we've seen things anecdotally from reporters that are up there that he doesn't look good.
Fact?
Fact.
Day-Day, fact or fiction, Tua doesn't look like a competent starter.
This is messed up.
What?
Answer the question.
Fact or fiction?
Answer the question. Don't wait for the translation.
Where you at?
I just haven't seen enough.
Can he be trusted?
That's not a choice, Day-Day.
Fact.
Yay! Fact. Look at my boy.
Fact. I mean, to Mike's point, it hasn't looked good. My biggest disappointment is, and I don't know if it's necessarily a disappointment, but what I will say is you would think that he would have come in and really created, without a shadow of a doubt, that he is deserving to really be in the lead, even though the competition itself, like, he hasn't done anything to completely separate himself to make, I don't feel like Kevin Stefanski and the staff are even leaning towards him being the starter. Like, he hasn't done anything out, you know, to I don't believe, to make
separate
them feel
himself.
Like, yeah, separate himself. And for them to even say, okay, even if Michael does come back, I don't know that Tua is going to let this go.
All right. Oh, fact or fiction? Tua doesn't look like a competent starter.
Fiction.
Let me give you fiction on that one, Carl. I'll play the devil's advocate here.
Don't play radio. Believe what you're going
I'm
on
gonna
inside
what I'm
your
saying.
Soul.
I'm going to believe what I'm going to say here. Trust me on this one right here.
All right.
It's time. The same thing you'll talk about with Penix, where we need time to see him get back right.
Yeah.
I think we need time for Tua to get, whether it was getting over the back injury, getting fully acclimated, having an offensive line that's competent in front of him.
Mm.
I think all that takes time. I think it's there's enough of a skill set right there, and I don't think the internal clock of his has been ruined enough or pushed too fast enough in the concussions down in Miami to where he's a total unserviceable quarterback at this point. I still think there's skill there. Now, I don't know how long that skill is going to last for, but I think you can throw him out there for the first couple of games of the season and get quality quarterback play. And if that's the timetable you have to get Michael Penix back on the field and healthy, it works out perfectly for you.
And look, as we've always said, if Tua balls out and really catches fire with this offense, which should really play to his strengths, with Stefanski yards after the catch, weapons like Bijan, the way Zachariah Branch already looks, already Dotson's impressing some people, Pitts. You know, it's not impossible that he could do so well that, you know, that timeline gets pushed even further back for Penix Jr. But that gets us into that gap year scenario, because if I got two quarterbacks playing, something's gone wrong with my season.
Yeah, that's the problem. All right, guys, let's keep it moving. Fact or fiction? And by the way, I'm going to say fiction on the Tua, not looking like a competent quarterback, because there's so many other elements to it. I'm with O on this, but look, he's got to prove this here quickly. And that's where I think
you're
we're
not
all
turning
at.
Your back on
no.
T-U-A.
Very good, Mike. I am not. Penix is not a franchise quarterback. Fact or fiction?
This is tough. Ooh.
Well, I need more time.
Then there's an answer for it. That's an answer, Mike.
Fact or fiction?
Then that would be fiction.
That would be fiction.
Because I need – this is the prove it year. This is the year where he gets to work with a competent coach. Raheem Morris did him no favors by bringing in a coach who was over his head with a rookie. And let's be honest, and maybe he'll have success with Baker. He made some fundamental mistakes. They had a guy that was his passing game coordinator. He gets thrown off the team. Remember, they fired a coach, Ike Hilliard, last year. It was. And that's where it's at. So that's not Mike's fault. Now, Mike had things like fundamental flaws with his footwork that really manifested itself at a number of games, including that horrible loss in Carolina, which, again, going back to Raheem's incompetence, maybe we should have the OC on the sideline working with a rookie quarterback. Dang. You know, yes. So I still think there are you got a much better support system, an offense, skill position players, and a coaching staff. So I will say fiction. He will prove it this year.
Mike says fiction. Where are you at, Day-Day? Michael Penix is not a franchise quarterback. Fact or fiction?
I mean, I pretty much have to echo everything Mike said. Like, there's not enough time, and he hadn't been equipped with everything. I think he's shown us the flashes that he can be, but unfortunately, injury has derailed him. So, you know, I think he has an offensive skill set of players around him that can help prove that he can do that. It's just a matter of him getting out on the field.
So you think it's fiction?
Point. Yeah, fiction.
Big O, where are you at?
I got into a discussion yesterday with somebody on Twitter. This very thing came up. And they wanted to bring up the fact that, oh, he puts us in these positions, despite bad special teams play, to win ball games at the end. Yeah, that's great. But what about the other three quarters of football that don't look great? Right. What about the other three quarters of football where he looks lost? Like, there was the game, San Francisco game, I get Christian McCaffrey ran all off of him. But people forget, he had a horrible intentional grounding penalty before the half.
Yes. Oh, that's true.
Yes,
that's true. These guys don't want to remember that.
Throwing balls in the dirt to Drake. I mean, you guys don't remember this stuff.
They don't want to remember the first three quarters of play. They just want to tell you about that last drive of his and then special teams screwing something up.
But he's played 12 games?
12.
Throughout 12 games?
12.
He's technically hasn't even played a full rookie season.
Okay, so then he's not, but is he a franchise quarterback through those 12 games of what you've seen? That's what I'm asking you.
How did
fact or fiction?
I said fiction. So how did Peyton Manning do his rookie year?
Threw a gazillion interceptions. I mean, really struggled. But he had a full, But again, full confidence. The team had the full confidence in him because he's Peyton friggin' Manning, but he's also healthy.
He had a full offseason, though, coming into the next year where he knew he was going to be the starter.
Yeah, he had no injury. He couldn't beat Florida, but he had no injury.
My point is, Penix still hasn't played a full season.
Correct.
So you don't know the data. You don't know.
None of us know. So it could be fact or fiction.
To Carl's point,
this is a bull jive game.
Fact. No, man. It's fact.
Two
it's
things fact. Cannot it's be true. No, you've got to answer the question.
I said fiction. I'm saying fiction.
I said fiction, too, because this is the year where, now again, the Falcons, they should never have drafted him in the first place, but here he is. And now we got a competent coaching staff, unlike the nitwits he had the first 2 years he was here. Let's see what happens.
If you haven't seen it by now, then you can't say it's there.
That's fact.
But has he been positioned for you to see it?
There's a flip side data, yes, there is, where you don't know what he is. You don't know if he's going to be good or bad. But right now, you don't know what he's going to be, so you have to – You can't say he's a franchise guy when you don't know when it's incomplete. Right. You can't say he's a franchise guy.
All right, fellas, we got one more before we wrap this up.
This is fun. I'm having fun with this game.
It's fact or
fun
fiction.
Conversation.
One more quickly before we get
bring
done.
The heat. Bring the heat, meat.
Will right tackle be an issue this season for the Falcons?
Fact
or fiction?
Fact.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah, it's a fact. I mean, Jawan Taylor, I mean, we've only seen him for, like, what, a scrimmage?
Mike, he missed 21 practices.
And
no balls.
And we also found out that we were of the opinion it was still a hangover to the tricep injury or the arm, and then we found out he had a cleanup procedure on his knee. So I'm like, what? Where'd that come from? So, yeah, we don't really have depth to get it. I think Jarrell they're working with, but we don't have the swing guy. They're trying to develop it. This could be an area of serious issue for the Falcons, considering he is the blind side.
Fact.
I'm going to say fiction.
Right tackle will not be an issue during the season?
We know his protection. Fiction. His protection isn't the issue. It's the penalties.
Right. Well, I'm not. First thing, I'm trying to be staying healthy.
Yeah.
But he was the walking false start.
Right. So, and to your point, you said it yourself earlier, Mike. If Callahan is who we think he is, right, as this offensive line coaching guru, maybe he can get that out of him. If he gets that out of him, I think we're okay.
Oh, is it fact or fiction? Right tackle will not or will be an issue. Will be an issue this season.
Fact.
It will be because of what Mike said. The depth, like. You talked about earlier, we're, what, two bad plays away from having Cooper Rush be a starter?
That's right.
We're one bad play away from Michael Jarrell being the starter at right tackle. And that's a horrible situation to be in right now, man. Like, you don't want that to be the worst-case scenario. But and I get Jawan is who he is, and there's some pedigree there, but – Hey,
well, they brought in another guy from the Chiefs. The guy
who can't get in shape, Wanye Morris.
He's not
bike entire camp.
We knew it was a bad scene when he went like his first day of practice. So, that's where we're at with tackle, and they may have to go. Remember, Levitre was a guard. We made that trade for Levitre years ago, and that worked out great. He was a benchmark guy for us.
I'm learning. Oren doesn't like anything about this team.
No, he. You know what?
No, I do love this team because I got on a guy a couple days ago about being negative, and I'm not trying to be ultra negative on this team whatsoever. There are so many positives.
But you know what, Dave?
But you can recognize the negatives too.
This is why it's fact or fiction. You can't run from it. This is a fact. Right tackle could be an issue, and I think it will be as we go through this season. All right, good stuff, fellas. We got to take a break. We're going to come back, wrap the show up, tell you what we think about this second preseason game and what you should be paying attention to next. We head to a weekend where we're trying to figure out if the Braves are going to be able to handle the Brewers. Mike, we'll be keeping an eye out on that. Also, preseason game number 2 for the Falcons, front and center. And it's interesting because we were saying, all right, with no starters, you know, getting some legitimate snaps in this ball game, what are you watching for? Look, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but that comment about we're two plays away from Cooper Rush being the starter is real. I need Cooper Rush to play well. I'd like to see Jack Strand continue to, get positive reps.
Evolve,
Mike.
Right?
Yeah, because he didn't, guys, he was up there for 2 days, and we went from seeing him every day at practice almost early in the camp, taking almost all the snaps, to they get up there and he doesn't do anything. Like, not because they didn't want him to, but they needed to see Michael Penix in 7-on-7, and they needed to see Tua against another team in 11-on-11.
Right, and then Cooper Rush got the other reps. So still a chance. Again, my feeling would be, again, how many quarterbacks are you going to carry? I think you have to carry 3.
Yes.
On the roster. And then that's basically a guy that, look, somebody in the scouting department saw this kid, said he's got potential, and I'd like to see him, you know, stashed and dashed on the practice squad, and okay, hopefully nobody, you know, snakes us on him. Because I think there's some potential. He's still raw. But if you went to practice, guys, up at Flower Branch, or you'll watch this weekend, you'll see he's got moxie, as Arch would say. He's got some balls. He's got a big arm, and the big glute can run in there. I mean, he's not as swift as a guy like Josh Allen, but he'd be like a poor man's Josh Allen if it ever panned out.
I want to see, too, Mike, some of these second and third team guys. Can these guys block? I mean, can we block anybody?
Well, that was it. I mean, the Broncos, it was a jailbreak. Every play, it just seemed like really, really struggling. Until you got down to, like, the Broncos' third and fourth string, there was just nothing good was happening.
Yeah. So those are things, again, with the starters not necessarily getting snaps in this one. And then defensively, you know, you talked about the fourth-string defensive back that they kind of did that video on.
Yeah, poor A.J. Woods, man. They're clowning this guy as he gets juked out of the frame. Super slow-mo. I mean, but again, the odds are long that he's going to make the team. Disappointed we're not seeing Avion. You know, this is similar, I said earlier today, talking with Daniel Flick from the AJC. A little bit reminds you of Jalen Walker last year. Jalen had, like, some soft tissue stuff.
Yep.
As Carl says down in Texas, they call it a groin injury. But in the case of Avion Terrell, he's missing valuable reps right now. You know, for a guy that, you know, if the most optimistic was, we'll have 2 Terrells starting out there. I don't even think he's going to get the start at nickel.
You might be right, man, because practice time does matter. And most of these guys are coming back healthy. I mean, we really hadn't spent a lot of time. But, you know, again, Clark Phillips, Billy Bowman. There's a bunch of guys still out here that are vying for that nickel spot. Offensively, Mike, too. It's more than just scoring points. Can we just put a nice drive together, you know?
Well, Cooper Rush had the big drive of the day. I think he got like 60-some-odd yards, and whoop, pick six.
Pick six.
So, as we said, the Denver game could have been like a one-possession game, at least one score. And then if you didn't watch, it was like, oh, big whoop. But it was an ass-kicking, and it just didn't look good. And Tua misses the snap, and everything went wrong.
Yeah. All right.
Kendall Daniels, by the way, that's another guy we're all big fans of. And looking to see him. Look, I know if, as far as the pecking order, it's kind
you
of,
like him to start next to Diablo?
I would love to see him. You know, again, but he's technically backing up Divine Diablo. They've given him the green dot. Yep. He's been the defensive captain at times. But watch for number 53. That's Kendall Daniels on Saturday night from Oklahoma. We had a great conversation with him 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and the reason the green dot has been on his jersey is because Diablo's not out there. Diablo is the green dot guy when he's healthy, but he's not been out there. He did practice these last few days. But you're right. They got to figure out if it's going to be Harris or Daniels or is it Perkins?
Right.
Mike, who's going to be that other linebacker next to Divine Diablo? I said Divine Diablo. We will figure that out. But these are just some things that you should be watching, guys. And we've just brought up the right tackle thing in our fact and fiction. Okay, if it is one of these two guys, somebody, the cream's got to rise here, right? I want to see a good performance from that particular position in this particular game.
I mean, like, edge rush, run the football. You know, we're not going to see – again, none of the starters, guys. And then the debate will be how many starters would play in the final preseason game.
Yeah. Friday. I got to tell you, I expect to see everybody. Mike, we're not that good.
Stefanski has said he wants to see his starters in week 1 and week 3. So that's what he said.
Yeah, I just, you know, we hadn't won anything.
Well, you wanted some continuity. To Day-Day's point, the offensive line has not been good.
Yeah.
And it's strange because we have a good, you know, PFF metrics, all the rankings, the Falcons are in the upper third as far as running the football, pass defense isn't as good as pass blocking. But still, we're thinking, wow, us with Bill Callahan, we're going up to new heights. Unless, like I said, it's Bill's unorthodox approach. Was he having the parking lot wax on, wax off? I don't know what he's got these guys doing, but hopefully it gets better because it's got to.
All right, before we get out of here, a quick update. What's going on with the Braves, man? Doing anything?
It's 2-0 Milwaukee, and again, it has been the pitcher's duel. The game's going rather quickly, but it's just tough because you need these bats to get lively, but you got a guy throwing 100-mile-an-hour juice, and he's probably going to win the Cy Young and Mazeroski.
Yeah. All right, we'll see how this series plays out. We'll be talking about that on Monday. Also, we're counting down to the start of college football. You guys believe next Saturday? It's all real. Like, these games matter. And by the way, if and when once they do expand the playoff, which they will, we're going to get rid of this week zero thing, right? That'll go away and
yeah, that's supposed to. So, like, you know, there's only a limited, I think, like New Mexico State's playing Florida State. There's smaller games, but yeah, when we get to the new format, everything starts in earnest all at once.
Yeah. And by the way, that's not happening. If you're just joining us also, Mike, real quick on the judgment that came down college football.
Yeah, man, we had the law, the judge, again, you, if you're keeping track, you have a fantasy circuit court judge, fantasy league, but the judge in Louisiana gets trumped by a judge who's got a bigger robe and a higher bench in Colorado, which said, no, you cannot give that eligibility of the fifth year of the guys in the 2022 class. So everybody who was thinking of coming from a practice squad in the NFL to college, not happening.
Yeah.
So common sense right now, a win for the NCAA, but more legal battles to come.
All right. Big shout out to all the go ahead.
I'm just going to mention the only other story of note. We were talking about it earlier, Klay Thompson. He gets his contract bought out in Dallas, and he's going to go sign with the Heat. It's been reported by Shams Charania. So the Greek Freak, Bam Adebayo, and whatever Klay's got left.
Yeah, they need help. I said that was an incomplete team, and you know, with the LeBron decision to go to Philly, I think ultimately he made the right decision. Not telling you they're going to win it all, but the Heat need some help down there. And again, we'll see if Pat Riley maybe makes some more trades as the season moves along. I was going to say, man, a big shout out. As Day-Day and I and you and O were talking about high school football across the state tonight. Mm. Not just Corky Kell, even though you'll hear Corky Kell game coming up after Chris gets done. Enjoy, man. This is a great time for parents. And Day-Day, I know your son's playing. And so good luck to all the parents out there and the sons that are participating. It's just a fun time of year, man. And when high school football starts, it feels like fall, even though it doesn't feel like fall outside. All right, man, we got to get out of the way and clear our throat.
So I think both things are true.
No. One thing is true. Two things cannot be true.
Hey, go check out the interview, man. Daniel Fleck from the AJC, our boy Flick, BMAC from CBS. Mike, both of them had different perspectives on the Falcons.
Right.
Both very interesting as we get, you know, more preseason under our belt, but they're online at Odyssey.com, and you can hear Steve Coonan as well talk about. I said it feels like some of these owners are flipping houses in the NBA. He said, "Nah, that's not the case.
Private equity is good." Again, you don't want those knuckleheads involved with your college program, I don't think. But you know, the only time it would ever get weird is if they get enough, you know, folks. I guess if you have if there's a voting block in your end, it's not like it's a boardroom. I mean, the owner owns the team, but where it would get weird is if somehow they gain control of the team and then. Look out, fans.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're only in it for the bottom line, not necessarily winning.
And that's what I don't like. All right, Day-Day, great job all week, man. Executive producing the show. Big O keeping us online. Stay tuned. Turtles got you covered. Mike Bell, let's start our weekend, man. Clear your throat.
Hey, remember when Sergio lost his ish at the Masters this year? When he was slamming his club in the ground, he banged up a cooler, he was just losing his mind?
Yeah.
They're now saying in an article of the Financial Times that Garcia's rage-filled demolition and just acting like an idiot at the Masters, for which he later apologized, may have been the straw that broke the camel's back. Pardon the analogy, since I'm talking about Saudi Arabia, with Yasir Al-Rumayyan, who is embarrassed as the governor of this private investment fund, the public investment fund for the Saudis, that basically said that's it. And the fact that the guys from LIV weren't really doing anything at the Masters, that may be where the decision was made to pull the plug on LIV Golf from the Saudi investment.
Did you see what DeChambeau said? I hope they give us another year. Come on,
another year,
stop it.
10 tournaments? Get out of here, man. Stop it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Hey, as we talk about the Falcons, don't get down. Season hasn't started yet. I know we're all anxious. I know we want to see results. I know you want to feel like you know exactly what's going on in due time. But let's not get crazy. We haven't started the season. Hey, if you love the show,
tell your friends.
If you don't,
you're diddling around at WNBA games.
They diddled around with it so long they ran out of time.